Manila Press presents Hold Back the Night, written by Jessica Moore and read by Elizabeth Bauer. I mind how once we lay such a transparent summer morning, how you settled your head athwart my hips and gently turned over upon me and parted the shirt from my bosom bone and plunged your tongue to my bare stripped heart. Walt Whitman, Song of Myself. There's always a plague, of one kind or another. Larry Kramer. Prologue. There was never a time, at least none that Annie can remember, when she did not know herself to be a nurse. When they were very little, Eddie, her younger brother, could occasionally be convinced to lie down while she alternately instructed, cajoled, and prodded him into being still, like a proper patient. In those very early days, she undertook ambitious surgeries, sawing off legs, reattaching heads, delivering Eddie of the football that she'd stuffed into the shirt of his pyjamas. Or so Annie's mother always told her. Annie herself could remember those images only partially, as if they'd been blotted out by great ink stains. When she was 3 or 4, Annie had been sitting in the garden on a very cloudy day. Vera Lynn was singing on the wireless, "There'll always be an England." Annie was looking at the worms, telling herself that if she was brave enough to touch one, then nothing very bad would happen. When the sky exploded. She didn't remember screaming or putting her hands over her head, only going very still and understanding in that gap where sound and movement were supposed to be that everything was over. It turned out that a bomber had been shot down just over their back garden. There had been a direct hit on the fuel tank and the whole thing blew up mid-air. A sudden downpour of wreckage all over their street. That afternoon, Annie found a man's hand in the middle of their vegetable patch. It had a ring on the middle finger. She remembered walking around the hand, inspecting it from all angles, staring for a long time at the end where the arm was supposed to be, where the flesh just stopped. It was a hot, muggy summer afternoon. She remembered thinking that the blood made the poppies in the paving stone cracks look faded. She crouched down and started to reach towards the hand. Slowly. She wanted only to brush it with her fingertips. She supposed it would feel like a hand, like any other. Her whole body jerked as she was pulled away. Annie's mother pulled her up into the air and, in a high, frightened voice, told Annie that she needed to go back into the house. Inside, Annie stood for a long time looking at the whitewashed wall. Vera Lynn had been singing on the wireless. Even though she knew the music was still playing, she could hear nothing. April 2020. This morning, just after I'd finished reading the paper, as I was putting on my coat, the landline rang. It was Paul. He was ringing to let me know that Rita had died. He said she'd gone at 4:09 in the morning. He said that bit over and over as if it was the only information that really mattered. 4:09. They wouldn't let me in with her, he said. And I could hear his voice start to crack. I thought he might cry. Men do these days. I was sitting outside, in the car. He was worried, he said, that in the end she might have been frightened. I told him, in a voice that I haven't needed to use for a long time, that Rita wouldn't have had much of an idea of what was going on while she was in hospital. She was probably doolally on morphine. I didn't know if it was true, but the dead are gone and you can't do them any more harm. It makes sense to take care of the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?